This is Melissa Sawyer. I co-head Sullivan and Cromwell's activism and corporate governance practice. And today I'm speaking with my partner, Karsten Berar, from our Frankfurt office about European activism. Karsten, we've seen a big uptick in public activism in Europe in the past couple of years. Do you think that's going to continue?
Well, Melissa, first, your observation is correct. While it is, of course, still less frequent than in the U.S., there has been a significant increase of shareholder activism in the past 2 years in Germany. To be more precise, you have to distinguish between transactional activism and corporate/corporate governance activism. Especially in public M&A, the German market has, in fact, a long tradition of shareholder activism since basically 2004. Activists buy into those deals to have blocking minorities with respect to takeover thresholds or to have veto rights regarding post-closing measures, such as domination agreements. This has always been the case, and it is nothing new. But what has increased also in Germany the last few years is corporate or corporate governance activism, with the activist coming in to request certain corporate measures, a change in management, a distribution of excess cash, etc. So it is a much broader playing field than in the past. Now to your question whether that will continue, yes, I think so, mainly for three reasons. First, German-listed companies have, generally speaking, a much more dispersed ownership than 10 years ago. So the possibility to buy a stake, find support among other institutional investors is much higher. And German companies are less protected by one or more major shareholders than 10, 15 years ago. Secondly, activists are building up professional structures in Germany. The main players often now retain the same law firm, have strong links to some former bankers to understand the market better, talk to PR advisors, i.e., they get generally more experienced. And they analyze the German market and the opportunities in the market much more systematically than a few years ago. Thirdly, corporate governance debates are held more openly. As you know, we have a two-tier board system, and supervisory boards are much more active than before in controlling management boards. Due to management failures and in the past also increased liability risks for supervisory board members if they fail to fulfill this control function.
So in view of all these developments, Karsten, do you find that many European companies are really starting to focus on activism now for the first time?
It depends, Melissa. Some companies had it on their radar screen for quite some time, but there is of course also a trend that even large companies, such as companies included in the German DAX 30 index, may become subject to a shareholder activism campaign now. And smaller companies may also be in the focus now, given that German companies, as discussed, are generally more in the target zone than before. And so for some companies, indeed, it may be the first time that they deal with shareholder activism.
What do you think is different about European activism compared to activism in the U.S.?
Well, as I said, some forms of activism have still not been so common in Germany in the past, especially a campaign against the incumbent management requesting, for example, management changes, split-ups, spin-offs, etc. has been less frequent, so all participants need to get used to it. One other key difference is that the public opinion in Germany is still very hostile against activist shareholders, also because shareholder value considerations are not as commonly accepted in the German public as they are in the U.S. Therefore, to turn it around, German companies may seek and find political support as part of their defense. Also legally, the shareholder value concept is only one element in analyzing the fiduciary duties of the management and supervisory boards. Both boards have to do what is in the best interest of the company, which includes all sorts of stakeholder interests, i.e. shareholders, employees, creditors, etc. In addition, the two-tier board structure makes it different, both for the activist and for the management in addressing the issues. Finally, co-determination, i.e. employee representation in the supervisory board, is an additional element that can change the dynamics in an activist campaign in the sense that there is an additional constituency to be taken into account.
And do you think that European companies are more vulnerable to activism at the moment compared to their U.S. peers?
No, I don't think so, at least not conceptually or due to the legal regime. It, of course, depends on how well they are prepared. But if they are well prepared, I do not think that they are generally more vulnerable than U.S. companies.
So do you have any general advice for European companies and German companies in particular concerning activism if they haven't already experienced it?
My first advice, Melissa, would be a cultural one that may sound a little bit odd. Don't underestimate those activists. This sounds self-explanatory in the sense that companies should take this seriously and should assume that these activists could find support among shareholders and that the pressure from the capital markets can be substantial. But I also mean it from a different angle. Don't underestimate it intellectually. Some German companies still think this is a cowboy attack by crazy capitalists who do not understand how a German company is run and who just want to make quick money. This attitude would be a huge mistake from my perspective because, as I said, the activists are today much better prepared and know very well what they are doing and know the German market very well. This directly leads me to my other advice, what to do when it has happened. First, analyze the activist. The philosophy and approach can vary depending on the type of activist. It is important to understand the types of activists in order for the company to develop the appropriate strategy. Second, communicate with the activist. And only if you do not underestimate the activist, you can communicate well with their team, which I think is very important. Contrary to what some German companies still believe, it would be a mistake to try to ignore the activist. They will not go away. You have to communicate with them as you would do with any other significant shareholder. In terms of advice, what to do before it happens, I would say the following. A company's best defense to activism is to contemplate the potential activist's challenge before it arises. A proactive approach is helpful, i.e. that the company challenges its own strategies, stated goals, and tries to think more from an investor perspective. What have been the company's weaknesses and challenges? Why is it taking a different path to its peers? And how does the company intend to create value going forward? A considered, stress-tested, and publicly stated strategy, together with strong governance, will position the company best to fend off activist campaigns. As to details, I can only recommend to know your shareholders and engage with them. Monitor the shareholder base and engage regularly to understand expectations before they escalate. And have a response protocol. Prepare a response protocol to which the company can turn to when an activist acquires a stake or makes an unexpected demand. This might include a response committee and a set of communication guidelines with external advisors.
So, Carsten, even though you say that German companies should not underestimate the activists, are there any missteps that you see activists making as they enter the European corporate landscape?
As to the regulatory landscape, I would say in the past, perhaps. Activists underestimated, for example, voting rights notification requirements, such in case stake building was done through options, or they misjudged that the replacement of supervisory board members in Germany, for example, required a 75% majority, which is hard to get. Also, activists sometimes underestimated the potential for resistance resulting from the two-tier board system, especially when coupled with co-determination. In particular, the supervisory board is responsible for appointing and dismissing the management board members. But I think with the process of the activists knowing Germany and the German market better and better, these kind of missteps disappear more and more.
Well, thank you for joining us today, Carsten. This was terrific. It's great to hear about what's happening in the activism front in Germany.
Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you for listening. For more information about our practice, please visit us on the web at www.solcrom.com.